sponsored by our community partner, Jet's Pizza. Jet's uses only premium ingredients, including dough made fresh daily. Jet's Pizza stores are located at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign. Their number 217-352-3333 and 1907 West Springfield Avenue. Their number 217-352-9992. Or you can order online at jetspizza.com. Disability Beat is also sponsored in part by attorney Baku Patel of Patel Law, who practices Social Security disability law and represents those who have been denied benefits. There are no fees unless Patel Law wins your case. You can contact Patel Law at 217-384-1111 for a free consultation to discuss your Social Security disability case. Patel Law is located at 108 West University Avenue in Urbana, with offices in Danville and Decatur. For more information, visit patellawteam.com or call 217-384-1111. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat.
My name is Fanny Tyson Essex from Challenge Unlimited. You are listening to Disability Beat on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, community radio for East Central Illinois.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Paul Brailer, founder of Cryptido, an organization to teach self-defense and physical fitness for people with disabilities. But first, the news for the week of June 6, 2016 from Disability Scoop, Inclusion Daily Express, and the Arc of Illinois. Last week in Springfield, the Value the Work Wage Bill, House Bill 5931, passed the Senate by a vote of 40 yes to 18 no. The bill is an initiative to increase wages for direct support professionals in Illinois in hopes of attracting more and better candidates to many vacant positions. The House of Representatives passed the bill about 2 weeks ago. The bill now goes to the governor for his consideration. The governor has 60 days to sign the bill, veto it outright, or offer an amendatory veto. If the governor takes no action during those 60 days, the bill becomes law. The Value the Work Coalition, a group of Illinois providers, now hopes to work with the governor and his administration to sign the bill into law. For the first time, people with disabilities can open special accounts where they can save money without jeopardizing their government benefits. Last week, Ohio became the first state to offer accounts made possible through the Achieving a Better Life Experience, or ABLE Act, with the launch of its program. ABLE accounts are available to individuals with disabilities nationwide through the state's offering known as STABLE. With ABLE accounts, people with disabilities can save up to $100,000 without risking eligibility for Social Security and other government benefits. Medicaid can be retained no matter how much is in the accounts. The accounts are nearly a decade in the making, becoming possible thanks to federal passage of the ABLE Act in 2014. However, states had to pass their own legislation and implement regulations before the offering could become available to consumers. Each state program is expected to be somewhat unique, and fees are likely to vary. Up to $14,000 per year can be deposited in an individual's ABLE account. Funds can be used to pay for education, health care, transportation, housing, and other expenses. Interest earned on savings in the accounts is tax-free. ABLE accounts are currently limited to individuals with disabilities that originated before the age of 26, though federal lawmakers have proposed legislation to raise that threshold. One caveat to the accounts is that states can recoup money remaining after an account holder dies to pay for Medicaid benefits disbursed to them. Advocates recommend speaking with a financial advisor before deciding how to take advantage of an ABLE account. Following allegations of child abuse at a Norwalk, Connecticut school, the Board of Education chairman acknowledged that the district has failed to oversee its students at High Road School, a private facility serving children with disabilities. The hole in the public school system became apparent during last week's school board meeting when three mothers spoke during public comment, claiming that their children were coming home with scratches and bruises inflicted by teachers and staff. Said school board chairman Michael Lyons, quote, "We send them off to the school and the school sends us bills for the tuition and we sign the check, but we've never had any system process of monitoring how the kids are doing with their outplacements," end quote. Norwalk Public Schools have no policy or position to ensure the special education students sent to private schools or outplaced students are being treated well or even, in this case, humanely. McDonald's has until mid-June to respond to a federal lawsuit accusing it of discrimination for refusing to serve blind customers who walk up during late-night hours when only the drive-thru window is open. The plaintiff, Scott McGee of Louisiana, said in court documents filed in U.S. District Court in Chicago that he was laughed at and turned away from the drive-thru window at a McDonald's in a New Orleans suburb late at night last August. It wasn't the first time that it happened, McGee alleged. Many McDonald's restaurants nationwide continue service through their drive-through windows late at night after the main restaurant entrance has closed, but the company's policy is not to serve pedestrians at the drive-through, and blind customers can't drive, so they're effectively barred from patronizing the world's largest fast food chain by revenue, according to the suit, which seeks class action status for all blind Americans who may have had difficulty ordering at McDonald's. And finally, driving a Corvette Z06 to a top speed of 152 miles per hour, Sam Schmidt completed four laps of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway without touching the steering wheel. Schmidt, who became quadriplegic after an IndyCar accident at Walt Disney World Speedway in 2000, 2 years ago set the semi-autonomous motor car, or SAM, speed record at 107 miles per hour. The semi-autonomous system uses motion capture technology as used in a lot of video gaming and involves Sam steering the car with his head and blowing down a tube to apply the throttle and sucking on it to apply the brakes. Schmidt said, quote, "It's amazing to me how similar this project has been to running a race team. It's truly been a team effort where everyone gives input, everyone does research, and if we go better, it's a team effort. If we don't, it's a team effort," end quote. And that's the news for this week. And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Vicki Nicewander, joined today by my guest on the phone, Paul Brailer, who is the founder of an organization called Cryptido. And Paul actually emailed me this weekend, and I thought this really sounded very interesting and invited him to be on the show today. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
So why don't you introduce yourself first? Tell the listeners a little bit about who you are.
Well, my name is Paul Brailer. I was born with spina bifida. I am 42 years old. Growing up in the 70s and 80s, I was sheltered a lot. I was discouraged from trying things that caregivers, teachers, doctors may perceive that may hurt me. And so From that, I developed a low self-esteem. I would ask for people's approval, and it, you know, went on into my adulthood. And when I was about 30, 35 years old, I lost three friends very close together from poor health. And it got me thinking, how could I be active and healthy living with a disability? About 6 months after that, two of my friends were mugged and unable to defend themselves. This got me thinking, how could I be active and healthy and living with a disability and be able to defend myself if I had to? One day I was at a local restaurant here in Barberton, and a lady had on a shirt that said The Art of Karate. I started talking to her, and she invited me to her school. And I thought, wow, this lady didn't even know me, and she invited a guy that's in a wheelchair to her school. That was a self-esteem boost in and of itself. And growing up, I liked watching the Chuck Norris movies and the Bruce Lee movies. So I went and I checked it out. Signed up the first day I went, and 3.5 years later became the first person born with a disability to achieve the rank of black belt. A lot of the techniques I had to learn, I had to modify. For instance, I would use a palm heel strike for a front kick and a elbow strike for a roundhouse kick. The art that they teach there is called Taekwondo, which in Korean means hand-foot way, or the way of the hand and foot. Oh, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, me and my friends were talking, and I said we should, you know, make a adapt this to disabled people because of my friends that were mugged.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I was leaving a local mall, and I always take public transportation. I take the bus everywhere, unless I ride with somebody else. But if I'm going by myself, I usually take public transportation. And a teenage boy decided he wanted to try and take my fanny pack. Well, due to my training, I was able to defend myself.
I'll bet he didn't expect that, did he?
Oh no, I always make the joke that he gets to tell everybody that he got beat up by the Crips.
So you started this actual, it's a school for teaching specifically people with disabilities?
Yes, I want Kryptido to be self-defense for the disabled, if you want. But I want to encourage people, like when I said before, my friends that passed away from poor health, you know, when, like, people that are my age, maybe even a little bit younger, and I know a little bit older. When we were in school and growing up, we were sheltered and not encouraged to do anything. Because they thought, well, Paul can't walk, so obviously he must be mentally disabled as well. And I've been treated like that, and the people that I've known have been treated like that our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I didn't achieve a higher self-esteem until I met the lady that is my instructor, who encouraged a handicapped guy in a wheelchair to come to school and learn karate.
The instructor that you went to, do you think she is unique among Taekwondo instructors, or is this something that is pretty general acceptance among people who are trainers of that?
Oh, not that I know of, because the word Taekwondo means hand-foot way, and Taekwondo is a kicking art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so for a person, an able-bodied person, to just meet somebody, a perfect stranger on the street, you know, and say, you know, come out and check out my school, just because, you know, we got talking, and I'm like, you know, I watched the Bruce Lee movies, I watched the Chuck Norris movies, you know, and she's like, well, if you like it, come out and check it out. You know, I don't know what she was thinking. To me, it would be a unique situation, because I don't think the average person is going to encourage a disabled person to come to a school that is a kicking art.
Right. And before the show, I mentioned to you that there is a program here in the Champaign-Urbana area that teaches Taekwondo to young adults with disabilities. But as far as I know, they have intellectual disabilities, not physical disabilities. So there's a little bit of difference there. Earlier in the program, you made reference to some specific moves that in Taekwondo, it might be helpful for people to get a better picture of how the moves are adapted for somebody who uses a wheelchair. Can you give some examples and give us some more description of that?
Like I said, you know, a front kick is, you know, you're kicking to the front using the ball of your foot, you know, your ankle's locked, toes are back, you're kicking with the ball of the foot. And if I have to do that technique in class, if we're training front kicks that day,
mm-hmm.
I use a palm heel strike, which is you bring your fingers back and you kick, and you strike with the palm of your hand to like the solar plexus of a person. You mm-hmm. know, if you're using it in a self-defense situation. Or the elbow strike, you're not actually hitting with the pointy part of the elbow. You're basically striking with the forearm part from the elbow up, you know, 2 or 3 inches to on your forearm. But the brown house is, you're kicking either with the top of the foot, you either have your toes pointed and your foot flexed, and you're kicking with the top of the foot, or if you were using it for a self-defense, and you would, again, pull your toes back and kick with the ball of the foot.
And so the goal is not necessarily to use the same part of the body to perform the action, but to have the same result, essentially.
Yes. You're participating, you know. It's not, well, Paul can't do roundhouses, so Paul can't participate in class today. No, we're going to modify it. And, you know, you might not be kicking, but you're going to be striking with some part of your body to be able to, you know, participate in class.
And so how many people have joined your program? How many people have you trained? And specifically in the self-defense portion, we'll talk about the nutrition portion in a moment.
Right now I have 3 students, and we do a workout. Like I said, the biggest focus is taking and getting healthy, moving. You know, because if you're in a wheelchair, statistics show that 58% of people that are in wheelchairs are considered overweight or obese.
I have a good friend who uses a wheelchair, and she says wheelchairs make you fat.
Yes. And, you know, we need to move. I mean, if you can't move your legs, you can move from the waist up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of your, in class, again, when you're training somebody to do the kicking techniques, your power comes from your hips. Well, if you're in a wheelchair, you know, you don't have that much hip movement. So it's your upper body, your torso turning, and that torque does the same thing as what your hips would do for, you know, breaking a board or doing a certain strike.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage, when I'm in training, I have resistance bands. I have them put around their shoulders, and they twist and, you know, strike, twist and strike, you know. That's how I teach them how to do that. Or I use hand weights and have them, you know, strike and twist at the waist.
Mm-hmm. So you're really combining the exercise routine with the actual self-defense moves.
Yeah, it is. If you can get in shape and learn how to use a technique properly, it's better.
Yeah, and have you had training for folks who have more limited mobility than just their legs? I mean, people who have difficulty with their arms and control.
Two of my students have cerebral palsy, and one of them his left-handed is more severely affected than his right. Then the other one, it's the opposite. and I teach them how to, maybe if you were in a self-defense situation, to, because a person that is going to attack a person in a wheelchair, they have to lean over. Okay. That puts them at a disadvantage. That puts them off balance.
Mm-hmm.
So the person in the wheelchair could grab and pull them in, and use the bad hand to grab and pull in, and use the good hand to strike with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use a stress ball on their bad hand to help them with their dexterity. And I also use Play-Doh, believe it or not. Mm. I have them make balls and make shapes with their with the Play-Doh to help get strength in their hands and get better dexterity.
Mm-hmm. So really, it's kind of playing a role of you know, physical therapy, or maybe at least occupational therapy, you know, fine motor skills.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, when I first joined, I'm having spina bifida, have gained movement in my legs and actually feeling that I haven't had before.
Mm-hmm.
And I credit it to the martial arts, because I'm using muscles. Muscles need nerves to, you know, get the signal down there. And if I wouldn't have been in martial arts, I wouldn't have tried to, you know, do a squat or a leg lift or anything like that. I mean, I remember the head instructor told me, get over in the corner and do squats. Well, my first time I did three.
Hmm.
And then I ended up on the floor. After, now I'm up to 60.
That's pretty amazing.
And I got leg lifts, and like I said, I never did leg lifts before. Now I can do leg lifts just like the able-bodied people in the class.
So for people who are not in your area, which, you know, we're based in Illinois, you're in Ohio, so little distance there. What, for people who are in this area, in the state of Illinois, who want to start investigating possibilities of doing something similar to what you did, what recommendations do you have?
There is a organization called the Adaptive Martial Arts Association. They're on Facebook. And if there is, that you just put in your city and state, and you'll either be put on the list, or they might have a school that's already, they know of, that will accept a disabled student.
Well, that sounds easy enough. I can put a link to that for sure, and, yeah, and let people do that. And as far as the exercising, are there things, you know, people who are use wheelchairs who don't have necessarily exercise programs, do you have any specific thoughts on how they can get started with that? Or, you know, are you strictly tied to the idea of martial arts?
Well, no. I mean, you can use whatever you want. I mean, if you're in a manual chair, go out and push your chair up a hill.
Mm.
And because that's going to burn calories just as much as this, you know, that somebody walking up a hill.
True.
Or if you don't have any exercise equipment, you got cans of soup, curl cans of soup. You know, that one gets too light, buy a bigger can. You don't need exercise equipment. You can do, Bruce Lee used to do what they call resistance. He would stand in a doorway and push on the walls, because he didn't have any exercise equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably the best martial artist ever. And he was 135 pounds and nothing but muscle.
How about somebody who is in a, you know, uses a wheelchair that has a joystick, you know, power chair?
Yeah, power chair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would depend on their abilities, you know, their dexterity. Do they have cerebral palsy? Are they a incomplete quadriplegic? And it all depends on the disability and what they're comfortable with doing. You could grab a hold of your armrest on your wheelchair and do push-ups that way. It strengthens your hamstrings. You know,
mm-hmm.
Watch your diet. Diet plays a big part of a person in a wheelchair. And, you know, a person that is in a wheelchair doesn't burn calories like an able-bodied person, because we're only using half of our body.
Right. We haven't had really a lot of time to talk about the diet. What recommendations do you have for diet specifically?
Again, you know, that me personally, I eat chicken, and that's pretty much the only meat I will eat besides fish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fruits and vegetables. You know, I do all organic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, what I do. But again, you know, what are your caloric needs? Are you a diabetic? Do you need insulin? You know, are you hyperglycemic, where you produce too much insulin that you need to take a higher calorie intake?
Right. So very much based on individual needs. Sounds like everything that you do really is based on very individualized stuff.
Yes.
With people.
A person would come to me, you know, and I would ask them, you know, I asked, are you a diabetic? You know, do you take medications that mess with your blood sugars? And because I had one student, I had him, he had 2.5 pound weight. He did 5 minutes of punches and his blood sugar dropped. Well, you know, because he didn't have enough sugar in his system for the exercise.
Huh. Very interesting. So, Paul, if there are folks out there who are interested in learning more about what you're doing with Cryptido, do you have a website that they can go to? And if so, what is that?
Cryptido.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are a pending 501c3 nonprofit organization right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want Cryptido to be free to everybody. I want Cryptido to be paid for by grants and donations. And we have a GoFundMe where we can get our 501c3. We're in the process of getting the application ready. And the people, that's also at GoFundMe.com/Cryptido.
Are you thinking of expanding beyond Ohio?
Oh, eventually, yes. I mean, I want to travel and to say, you know, there's a gym that would like to have me for a weekend, and I could come in and do a 3-day seminar. You know, and have people come and talk to me there, and you know, like I did, I was at the Chicago Abilities Expo.
Mm-hmm.
And June.
Right.
And that was, you know, really neat. I mean, Chelsea Hill from the Push Girls was there. A group called Handicap This, they're from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I met them. You know, they're awesome. But it's, I mean, it's people, when they realize that they can do and they don't have to live in what if or I can't, and you see their mind and eyes open up, it's just awesome how, you know, you can help people. This, they see me doing it. They see, you know, Chelsea Hill doing it. It's just awesome. And they realize, you know, that they can do this. They don't have to watch TV and get fat and unhealthy or sit in front of a computer and, you know, do the same thing.
Absolutely. Well, we are out of town. Thank you for, or out of time. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Paul Brailer, founder of Cryptido. Thanks for joining us. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are podcast on our website at www.disabilitybeat.com, or go to Facebook and look for Disability Beat Radio. Please send your comments and show ideas for guests or topics to disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Hope you have a great week.
WEFT is sponsored in part by our community partner, Jet's Pizza. Jet's stores prepare dough fresh